miss that. Just before a 9:45 on BBC Radio Kent, are you in Higham, Shoreham, Cliffwoods, Cobham, Gravesend? You've had 8 years at least of uncertainty already since the consultation on a lower Thames crossing was launched back in 2009. What is this delay in making a decision by the Department of Transport doing to you? They've told BBC Radio Kent this morning that they will provide their decision in due course, quote, unquote. How do you feel about that? Angry, frustrated, anxious? 03459 811 1111. Anonymous on text. Don't forget to let us know who you are on text. Don't be a stranger. 81333. Start your message with Ken. Hi, Andy. Everyone in Kent who uses our roads know that we hit gridlock far too often now. Operation Stack, with a knock-on effect, hits the whole county. Yeah, but we haven't had that for ages, have we? Let's be honest about it. But daily traffic volumes make business inefficient at best. It causes many, many more accidents, which then causes further delays. Listening to BBC Radio Kent traffic reports, it becomes obvious the problem happens all day long. East Gravesend crossing must start, and it must start now, says our anonymous texter. It will still take years, of course, to complete. 8 to 10, actually, is what we're looking at. So 2025 at the earliest. 81333 on the text. Start your message with the word Kent. 03459 811 1111 is our phone number at BBC Radio Kent. Danny has called that this morning. Hi, Danny.
How you doing, Andy? You all right?
I'm well, thanks. What do you make of whether or not we need a decision right now?
It needs to be made. Just there's some reasons behind that, Andy. I suffer that hellhole. So do my colleagues, and it costs my company a lot of money in terms of downtime, and it's just not good. At last, somebody's mentioned the air quality. For some reason, the government's got this thing about particulates and diesels, and you've got a lot of lorries there using 3-4 times what a car uses. You know, those people around there are suffering, and children, they've got a very, I don't know if you look at statistics, but they've got a very high aspirin rate amongst children in Dartford.
Funnily enough, Sadie's just texted the show this morning in Southend to say, morning, Andy, just ban diesels from the crossing, which is a thought, but that would immediately, of course, remove every single HGV, most vans, would stop me going to Southend, Sadie, to take my kids to Adventure Island in Southend, and I wouldn't want that, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, the big issue we have there is it's badly managed. You know, the people managing it are not fit for purpose. I mean, I would do a couple of things. I would treat it like the rail system. When there's a delay, they would get heavily fined. You know, £50,000-£60,000 an hour. I'd also put an air quality monitor up there, and when it reaches a certain level, because they're holding people up over a little shunt which takes them about 2 hours to clear, then they'd be fined again. You know, we desperately need another crossing, but this is the big point we're ringing in, Andy. 5 to 10 years, why? The North Koreans have just built a similar bridge in less than a year. So what we don't do, we don't put a load of lazy construction workers there, because you go past them, don't you? One's having a fag, one's looking at the others, he's playing with his phone. Well, you contract the North Koreans to come in with their infrastructure, and they'll put it up in under a year, and I bet you they can do it a damn sight cheaper as well.
So, bearing in mind you're based in Ashford, Danny, which option of a new crossing works better for you? Option C, if, in fact, Bluebell Hill was to be improved, which could be part and parcel of option C. Does that work for you, or do you think it should be in Dartford?
No, it doesn't need to be. It needs to be as far east as possible. You imagine, Andy, if I'm going to, say, sort of middle of Essex, yeah? I do a great big horseshoe. I drive almost into London to then drive 40 miles back in the opposite direction. It's pathetic. As far east as possible, and what you could do with a Bluebell Hill caper, you could put a flyover over the top of that. I know it cost a few quid, but we can spend billions on foreign aid, so it's not an issue. The money is available. We just got to decide where we want to spend it. And we could put a flyover over the top of Bluebell Hill purely for the bridge traffic. It's not difficult. Come on. It's not difficult.
Danny, thank you. 03459 811 1111. Susan is in the lovely village of Shoreham.
Yes, good morning. Near Strood. It's lovely at the moment.
Well, it's an interesting point that you mentioned, Susan, isn't it? Because your life and the lives of your fellow residents could be, in 8 to 10 years' time, a very different one.
Yes, that's true. But one has to believe in logic and reality.
And democracy?
Yes, certainly.
47,000 people responded to the consultation, Susan, which took place now nearly a year ago, or closed, I should say, actually. Closed at the end of March 2016. 47,000 people responded to the consultation about a lower Thames crossing. Here we are, nearly a year on from that point, and we still don't have a decision.
Well, more importantly, we still don't have any information about what those people said, how they contributed, what their thoughts about it contributed to any decision-making process. You've mentioned, how does it affect people locally? I mean, obviously, people are anxious. I mean, some, the sort of widespread blight, et cetera, et cetera.
Have people moved, Susan, from your village as a result?
Some of them have tried to, of course. They can't necessarily. But I think it's all very well sort of saying, oh, yes, let's have a decision, let's have it now, blah, blah, blah. But what's more important is that the right decision is made based on the right information. And that's what I think we've been lacking so far. When you get projects, I know it's been going for 8 years, but when you get projects like these, what happens is they get a momentum of their own. And what's happened with successive decisions about particularly getting rid of things like option E and D is that they get further and further from reality. Each successive decision narrows down the choices. But meanwhile, life has moved on and lots of things have changed. And in particular, what's been changing over that time is the amount of traffic on the A2 and the amount of pollution on the A2, the amount of pollution in Gravesend Centre, et cetera, et cetera. The amount of building, as you've mentioned, is absolutely astonishing. I mean, that there was a consultation just recently about modifying the Bean and Ebb Street junctions. And in that, it said that for Bluewater, that junction is expected to carry an increase of 70% of traffic. And for the Ebb Street Junction, that's expected to have an increase of 170%. That's talking about nearly trebling the amount of traffic using those junctions. And, of course, if people are using those junctions, they're also using the A2 largely. I mean, trying to get to Ebb Street Station now, there's a huge, there's often queues, trying to get to the station and get to the industrial estates beyond. And all they're doing, not just Highways England, I have to say, is reproducing the same problems at Dartford. If you build industrial estates, on the river, all along the riverside, which have to be accessed by the trunk roads like the A2 or the M25, and then the side roads, and those side roads can't take it. So that's the reason for gridlock in places like Northleigh.
So we've been hoisted by our own petard.
Yes, I think so. I mean, one of the things people have also said earlier on is, about the traffic going around the M25. I mean, that traffic is still going to go around the M25 and it's still going to be using the Dartford crossing. What it was alluded to in one of the recent people you spoke to is the management of the crossing, not so much necessarily the management, but the structure of the current Dartford crossing.
Mm.
The two existing tunnels are not fit for purpose because they have to stop all the traffic to let the convoys through, and if there's an overheight vehicle, then they have to stop two tunnels worth of traffic to move it across, to catch it, and then to kind of get it through the tunnels. That is never going to be solved. The traffic going around the M25 is still going to, be facing those same problems. The other thing that they're not sorting out, I mean, Jeremy Kite mentioned quite rightly, I think, about improving people in Dartford being able to move east-west, et cetera, across the M25. But that doesn't solve the fact that more and more local traffic is being encouraged to use the M25 A282 to get from between those east-west roads. So unless you can separate in some way the long-distance traffic and the local traffic, you're not going to get any improvement.
So a few moments ago, Susan, you mentioned it was very important, or the most important thing was to get the right decision.
Yes. Yeah.
You've mentioned some very interesting and thoughtful points, and I wonder what you think the right decision is.
Well, the right decision is to increase the capacity and the flow rates at Dartford. That's the only thing which is going to improve the air quality at Dartford. It's been said in the Highways England documentation, although a lot of the data is very dubious, that all that option C would do would be to reduce the traffic on the crossing by 14% at the same time as it's increasing anyway. So within a few years, they'd be back to square one. So what they're proposing isn't actually a solution for the Dartford crossing. It is the M25. It is the main orbital route around London. When the Chancellor called for ideas last autumn about what he should do, I sent in something, and I said basically the Dartford crossing as it is now is a national and international disgrace. And that, you know, I think it's what people think when, you know, if they do come over from abroad. I dread to think, because it's just ridiculous. And the possible solutions there are obvious. You know, it needs either another bridge, which obviously would be prone to wind, etc., or a modern tunnel system actually at the crossing. And it needs something to take the M25 orbital traffic off earlier. And that we don't understand why the option A14, which was in the original consultation documents, has been taken out. You know, if you look at, somebody earlier mentioned Istanbul, I think they've just built a huge tunnel under Istanbul, actually for rail, but the same thing could be done for road. There are other countries who managed to build massive long tunnels, you know, and burrowing through a bit of chalk shouldn't really be that difficult.
Mm. I think a lot of people might agree with you. There are issues at Dartford, I'm sure.
I think the trouble is that they're just ignoring the problems elsewhere. It's what I call emperor's new clothes syndrome, because they're just blinkered to anything. They've got their eye on what they want, and they're just blinkered to anything which tells them something different. You know, the traffic on the A2 is dreadful. It's increasing 2.5% a year before all the housing developments, before the Blue Water expansion, etc. You know, there isn't the capacity. All that will happen is that, you know, gridlock will get worse. You know, currently, if there's an accident anywhere on the A2 part of the system, it backs up over the Medway Bridge, which will immediately negate any Lower Thames crossing.
Mm.
They haven't explained how traffic's going to get from the M20 to the A2, M2, and then onto the crossing. That's not been sorted out at all.
Well, there are plans to widen the A229 between the M20 and the M2, so at Bluebow Hill.
It's not widening, it's the junctions.
Well, it does. Problem. This is what it says here. It says, additionally widen the A229. This is on the Highways England website. That's what it says.
I don't think it's the widening that's the issue. It's the junctions getting traffic on and off, which is massive.
Or each motorway. Well, yeah. That's a fair point.
Which they costed it. Mm. I mean, that was the Kent's, KCC's, option C plus, obviously, variant, you know, was to sort out the junctions. And, of course, Highways England took that out of the consultations, because it would cost $500,000 more, and that would put the cost of the crossing up.
As hard as it might be for you to hear, Susan, you've mentioned very eloquently the expansion of local traffic in and around northwest Kent. Wouldn't option C offer the best option of relieving pressure on local traffic by taking away traffic that is bound for points north before it gets into the bottleneck of the A2? And I totally take your point about how busy that is, and the M25 at Dartford, and it then releases it back onto the M25 at points further north.
No, but that's the point, option C area. That traffic, particularly the traffic from Dover, etc., has already come all the way past the Medway towns for no reason whatsoever, in my opinion. You know, the traffic on the junction M2 to 3 is already at high capacity, and the accident rate there is already high. Mm. So anything which attracts more traffic is going to create more problems. You know, it's they're not really looking at the problem. If they started this 8 years ago, they need to look at the problems now, not the problems 8 years ago, not use data that's patently out of date or been grossly manipulated. You know, it's just, the whole thing is just ludicrous. As I said, they predict that sort of the relief to the Dartford crossing from C would be only 14% of the total traffic, and that's going to be more than replaced by the additional traffic from all the developments.
Whichever decision we come to, Susan, do we need a decision, and do we need it now, in a word?
No, we need, as I said, we need the right decision. If the right decision might be to say, look, you know, we need to go back and look at this. But I would also say we need to do something at Dartford. You know, call it what you like. Call it a road widening scheme. Forget calling it a third Thames crossing. It never was an extra crossing, was it? All it is in effect a road widening scheme. Let's do that, sort it out. All this stuff about how, you know, it's going to take 6 years, it's going to be so dangerous for the workers and blah, blah, blah. If people know that the reason roadworks are being done is to make things better, they will put up with it. Sure, it's frustrating. Sure, it will cause problems. Sure, some people will go the other way around the M25 just like they do now. But I think people understand that it's a difficult area, but we must get on and solve it.
Susan, thank you for your call this morning. Susan in Shoreham, putting the case for changes at Dartford. Do you agree? 03459 811 111. Do we need a decision, and do we need that decision now rather than in due course? Lines are open to BBC Radio Kent on 96.7 and 104.2 FM, medium wave, digital, online, and on Freeview, channel 719. You're listening to Andy Garland here on BBC Radio Kent.